Start. Okay, so we are Reishayin Aleph Sifhei. I think we probably could finish off the end of Reishayin Aleph tonight. Sifhei. So Sifhei is the siman having to do with Sirtut. Sirtut are those the lines that you'll see in a Sefer Torah, Mezuzah, Tefillin. And then there's an additional halacha, which is actually found the very last siman in Hilchos Sefer Torah, actually quotes from the Gemara Maseches Gittin, that says that any document needs to have sirtus. Any document that contains, I forget the exact language. Asur lichtov below sirtut, that you're actually prohibited from writing without sirtut. And right, a kol kisvei kodesh, you have to write with sirtut. So, where is that coming from with regards, there seems to be this universal halacha versus specifically whether it's needed for mezuzah, sifrei Torah, and or tefillin. So that's something to think about. Because it shows up in the beginning of Maseches Gittin, we're going to have to put in the thing again, if Bob is showing up.
Are the lines?
What? Yeah, the sirtut are those lines that are sketched into the into the text. So there, and where's the? What?
It's lines.
Correct. Yes. I actually just got today a shipment, my first since the beginning of COVID, of Mehudr Mezuzahs from my nephew, from Eliezer. It showed up in the mail today. So here, you'll be able, he has very good sirtut in his. If you look, can you, I don't know how much you could tell here. Can't really see on the screen.
Yeah.
Oh, there. If you do it from that angle, you could see. Okay, so those are the sirtut. Now the minug is, I'm not sure if it's the halacha, if it's required or not, that I haven't. What?
Nothing.
Okay. Now I'm not sure. The minug is that sirtut are for the top part of the letter, like the top standard part of the letter, as opposed to like the top of the lamed or the crowns that go up, or is that the lamed the only one that goes above? Or some of the other, I think Lamed might be the only one looking at it, right? So those, it's the top of the standard letter before you get to whatever goes above the letter. So if you have Tagim, or you have, right, the crowns, or you have the top of the Lamed, so all of that is from the Sirtut up. Now, the Emes says, I'm not sure if that's the Halacha or not. It's not found here. Maybe it's found in Hilchos Tefillin. Didn't take a look there yet. It wouldn't be in Hilchos Tefillin. So Hilchos Tefillin, as we'll see, there may not be a requirement to have Tzirtut. But that is the way that it's used. Now, does it have to be used that way? That I'm not sure about. Okay? So anyways, so that enters us into the sugya of Tzirtut. Bob, I'm putting up a link to the source sheet again, because you don't see the pre-existing chat. All right, so the tour says here on the first page of the sources, the tour in where hey, two lines towards the bottom, Sefer Torah tzricha sirtut. That Sefer Torah requires sirtut. V'tanya mesecha sofer malach lemoshe misinai misargalin bekana. Perishri lo asla fuke sachin ella oferes v'chiyotze bo shatova. Actually, that's talking about the writing implement. Okay, we'll get to that later. And then Upeirsh Rabbeinu Tam She'enu Chov L'Sartet Ela Tov L'Sartet. It's not actually obligatory, rather it's a good thing to do. K'tei L'Yafus Haksav She'enas. That should be nice. And the Rambam writes, Pasla Belo Sirtut V'Lazeh Hiskim Adonai Avrash. And the Rambam says that it's Pasla without it, and that's what the Rush agrees to. So there is something about Halacha Moshe Misinai in order to have Sirtut, in order to have these lines. And then you're left with a Machlokas as to how far it goes, what exactly requires these lines, and for how long. So the so if you look in the Beis Yosef here, so the sugya starts, at least with regards to Kisvei Kodesh, in the Gemara Maseches Megillah. The Gemara says, Beperek Beis de Megillah, based on words towards the end of Megillah's Esther, Divir Shalom Ve'emes. I think it's in the very towards the end of the ninth parak. It says it should be Shalom Ve'emes. The words should be Shalom Ve'emes. Amar Rabbi Asi, Megillah Tzricha Sirtut Kamita Shel Torah. So Rav Asi says the Megillah requires Sirtut, just like the truth of Torah. So what's the truth of Torah, and how are you learning out from that pasuk? So the truth is, I didn't see how they learned out from that pasuk. The Torah just says that, and then that's the end of the sugya. Right, Divrei Shalom Ve'emes. We see from here that you need Sirtut in a Megillah, like you need an Amita Shel Torah. So what is the Amita Shel Torah? That's the key question. So Peirush Rashi, Kesefer Torah Atzma. So Rashi says, yeah, like the Sefer Torah itself, a Megillah is going to be compared to a Sefer Torah in that it requires to have Sirtut on top. Vatosos Kasu Perek HaKometz, Fervinut Fam Diktek Me Sugyas HaLacha, the Sefer Torah in Tzarech Sirtut. That the Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in, well, Sefer HaYasher, as well as a couple of Tosos in Menachos, says, no, that he doesn't think that a Sefer Torah itself requires Sirtut. Vamita Shel Torah, eino retzolomer Sefer Torah, because Rashi says. So what is Amita Shel Torah? It's not what Rashi says, Ella hainu mezuzah. That's actually referring to not a Sefer Torah, but rather to a mezuzah. Why would it be referring to a mezuzah? Because that contains the Amita Shel Torah. That's what it actually says in Tosos. The Beis Yosef doesn't quote that part of Tosos, but it says, well, that contains Shema. That's what the pasuk is referring to the Amita Shel Torah. So mehad tanya meseches sofrim kol yuriya she'ena misurgelas psula. He says now which it says in meseches sofrim that any yuriya that is not squared off is going to be pasul. It also says over there, misargulin bekana, that you have to straighten it out with a kana, with a reed. Ein raya, the dilma besirtut ta'elyunai. He says, that's not a proof, because maybe that's only referring to the upper sirtut, the sirtut on the top of the page. But that each and every line requires sirtut, so he suggests that maybe that might not be required. The dilma besirtut ta'elyunai. The asher lichtov gimel tevus below sirtut, because it's prohibited to write three words without sirtut. What is that? Where do we get the three words from? So that's the Gemara Maseches Gittin. The Gemara Maseches Gittin that says that you can't write kis, you can't write a star, you can't write Kisbe Kodesh without Sirtut. So that's about something about three words. So it could be, and this is the way Rabbeinu Tam understands it, that the Gemara Maseches Gittin, where it's talking about all staros, that means it has to be lined up on top. And this special halacha of Sirtut that we know exists by Megillah, says Rabbeinu Tam, that's compared to a mezuzah. A mezuzah requires sirtut. What about a sefer Torah? So a sefer Torah is like the lesser sirtut, where it's only required on top and not required on every line. That sheet seems to be the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. So mikol. Sefer Sofrim is a collection of brisos that talks about Hilchos Sefer Torah. It is found in a standard Vilna Shas at the end of Meseches Avodah Zarah. So we're like the Avos to Rabbi Nassan is, right, there's a couple of little Meseches Ketanos there. So I shouldn't say a modern standard Vilna Shas. That's where it's found. In like the, I don't know, that Vilna Shas that we have in the shul, I have no idea where you would find it, but you know that. Okay, so Mikol Makom, so Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the Tovel Sartate, he says that Rabbeinu Tam says, but it is a good idea to have it. Why? Li Yashar Haksiva, Mishum Zekelev Yanveyu, because it will make it look nice. Okay, so we have at least, however, one significant Rishon, Rabbeinu Tam, saying that it's not actually required within the Sefer Torah. Vaharash, however, Kasav Behilcho Sefer Torah, Uvi Yerushami, the Rush's comments in the back of Maseches Menachos are divided up, right? The Rush only wrote on Lamaisa parts of Shas, so the Rush does not appear in Seder Kudshin, except for Maseches Menachos, because in Maseches Menachos there's the section having to do with Tefillin, Mezuzahs, and Sifrei Torah, and Tzitzis, so the Rush wrote on that. So the Rush says, the Yerushalmi mashma keperish Rashi, that the Yerushalmi sounds like Rashi. Because of Odin, also says over there, v'nir lead the Sefer Torah by Yisirtet. It also says that, and he also writes that it seems to be that you require Sirtet. By the way, that Tosos in Maseches Menachos that I'm having in front of me, it's on the other side of the room, but that Tosos, you know, let me pull What daf did it say in the Sefer Menachos? Lamed Beis Amud Beis. Yeah, Tosu starts off by saying that V'yeshom et delo hayarugim l'sartet sefer Torah v'tfilin kevin delo bo sirtut. That they were not generally in the practice of putting sirtut. I mean, it sounds like Rabbeinu Tam is actually saying this was the practice. The practice was not to put sirtut in the sefer Torah and tefillin. Why? Kevin delo bo, because it's not required. And we learn in the Yerushalmi in the first parak of Masechta Shabbos, kol ha-pater min ha-davar va-osehu nikra hedyot. That anybody who is pater from something and does it anyways, they're referred to as a hedyot. So I actually have a copy of a standard Yerushalmi now because, who was it? So somebody was giving it away. And so it's like, all right. So I have my own copy. And I used to just look this up on the computer, but I never would have noticed such a thing before. Like, what is that Yerushalmi talking about? That's an interesting line, right? If you do something you're not obligated to do, so you're called a hedyot. So it's in the middle of a sugya. I'm forgetting now exactly what it's in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, and it's quoted. It has just like the Ein Mishpat Neir Mitzvah in a regular Vilna Shas. It tells you where to find it in Halacha, so it has it in Yerushalmi also. And there is a little letter there. And where does that little letter send you? It sends you to Halach, to Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Sukkah. What's it doing there? So you opened it up, and that's the Ramah that says that if you sit in a sukkah, even though it's raining, so you're called a hedyot. Right? So that line that the Ramah has, so that's coming at, it's coming from that Yerushalmi. Now, that's a little different than here, right? If you do, like, here there's nothing wrong with, I mean, how do we always think about that line, right? That line is that, you know, here you're sitting and suffering outside on having a yontif meal in the rain, right? Because and you really shouldn't be. And you could even add into that, and you're probably not even being yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah anyways, right? So therefore you call the hedyot, because here you think you're being a tzaddik by suffering out in the rain, but yet you're not even yotzei the mitzvah. Right, some of the people that live in our neighborhood, Chabadniks are, I don't know if you want to call it machmir or not. They will eat in the rain no matter what over Sukkot. Right, they'll sit in the pouring rain and they will eat. So the Shulchan Aruch call such a person a hedyot. So they'll say, yeah, I'd rather be called a hedyot than doing avodas Hashem than not. So I remember Rav Sobolovsky quoting this halacha once and saying. Yeah, so, all right, so that's why you're called a hedyot. That's why you're called a simpleton, right? So, there's a loss. Why specifically Tosos invokes that line for somebody who puts sirtut in a Sefer Torah when you maybe aren't supposed to, I don't know. I mean, I could think of plenty of times in Halacha where we're machmir for things that maybe we're not chayiv to do. And we don't walk around calling people who try to do that a hedyot. So why specifically Tosos invokes that line here, I'm not sure. It seems like a good shir to give on Sukkos as to what exactly is the definition of hedyot. So we'll, I don't know, we'll file that away as a possibility.
Here, there's a good reason to do it.
Right.
Right,
and not only that, Rabbeinu Tam himself says you should do it, because later on in the very same Tosfos, and I believe it's in Sefer HaYashar itself. Sefer HaYashar is the actual writings of Rabbeinu Tam, right? So that's actually tshuvos or essays or things that Rabbeinu Tam himself wrote. So sometimes Tosfos will quote from Sefer HaYashar, and often when you see Rabbeinu Tam quoted, you might be able to find a source someplace in Sefer HaYashar, and sometimes not. But here. He actually wrote that, oh, but by the way, it's a good idea to have it there. That way the whole Sefer Torah is going to look nicer. So, like, why is he? What's he doing in the first half of Tosfos calling you a hedyot if you go ahead and do it? I'm not sure. But anyways, the rest of the Rishonim, old Ashkenaz and Sfardim, assume that you should have it, right? The Rush said you should have it. The Rambam said you should have it. And the Kust of Rishon Mefarish Kepeirish Rashi v'chein Buch v'Yerushalmi v'chein Dasa Ra, that there's seems to be indicative from Yerushalmi to do it v'chein Dasa because the Yerushalmi learns out a connection of mezuzah to Sifrei Torah, implying that you should have just as in mezuzah you have sirtut Yerushalmi, shall have it in the Sefer Torah v'chein Dasa Ram Perik Beis the Megillah v'chein Pasuk Aram Perik Zayim Hilch Sefer Torah the Sefer Torah shekasu below sirtut pasul that the Rambam writes if it's a Sefer Torah that's written without sirtut is going to be pasul. I'll actually just because oh hi Sam. Just, I'll add in one other line from that Tosos, which did not make it into Beis Yosef, at least not here. Because remember, you know, even though it feels like we're learning Hilchos Stam right now, the laws of Sifri Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos, we're really only learning Hilchos Sefer Torah. So anything that's not germane to a Sefer Torah itself is not going to be here. But in that Tosos in Maseches Menachos, where it talks about where Rabbeinu Tam talks about the Sirtut, it adds in V'orim Rabbeinu Tam the Sefer Torah by Sirtut. Why Mishum Zekhi Levi and Vehu?
You're cutting in and out for some reason.
Yes. Forgot my microphone here. Not sure. Alright, so the Tosos there adds in at the end, Aval tfilin de mechusar ba'or lo bo sirtut, de lo shayach b'ho noy. Now when it comes to tfilin are not required to have sirtut. Why not? Says Rabbeinu Tam, de lo shayach b'ho noy. Because the idea of beautification of tfilin is not relevant. Why? Because the tefillin are locked up in a box the whole time, right? Whoever sees the parshios of their tefillin. So therefore, the concept of beauty of them is not applicable, which is also very interesting. Tried looking into this a couple years ago also, right? What is the fulfillment in having a nice Dvar Mitzvah if it's not going to actually be seen? I mean, does everybody agree to that concept of Rabbeinu Tam, that there's no concept of Hidur Mitzvah in terms of the beauty of Tefillin if the Tefillin are going to be locked in a box the entire time? Right? So there might be other ideas of Hidur when it comes to Tefillin. First of all, with the boxes outside, or perhaps with Hidur Mitzvah in terms of the fulfillment of the Mitzvah itself, that there might be different Chumras that you might invoke, but to specifically have beautiful Parshios, Rabbeinu Tam is suggesting, why bother, right? If it's going to be locked in a box and you're never going to actually see it. Now, that's a little bit problematic, that Rabbeinu Tam, because what's he comparing it to? He's saying mezuzahs do require it, but tefillin that are going to be in their compartment the entire time, they don't need it, because who's ever going to open up their compartment of tefillin? Well, I don't know. How often do you open up your mezuzah? How often do you unroll your mezuzahs to take a nice look at them? Right, so you say, well, mezuzah you got to check twice every 7 years. Tefillin, perhaps you don't. We'll get to that maybe later in this year or not. But that is also an interesting concept that emanates from this discussion in Tosos. Okay, so that is that's the first issue to deal with. Sam, we're dealing with the issue of sirtut, which are the lines that appear in a Sefer Torah, right? The lines that are etched in. One other important piece here in the Beis Yosef. And that is, let's skip the next little section. But then he says, Kasav od ha-Mordechai behilchos ketanos, simen tuf tuf kuf samach aleph. Right? Simen, that's 961. Right? The Mordechai counts in order through Masechtas. Right? It's straight through. So therefore, Menachos is getting towards the end. So he quotes from the Or Zeruah. It says, Besirtut atzmo mesupak Rabbeinu Simcha. Rabbeinu Simcha was mesupak. Im tzarech sirtut she'e nikr v'kayim le'olam. It says, this concept of requiring sirtut, right, are they required to be there forever? Kigon, for example, l'sartit bebarzel, meaning you got to use like some piece of metal. Osagi besirtut k'dei she'e nira l'sofer. Or maybe it's only necessary for the sofer himself to be able to see it. Right, sheyichtov v'shavus, that he writes well. Kigon b'bedil o b'oferes, like for instance with a oferes is dust. Like to use, I forget what b'bedil is.
Lead, usually.
Lead. Okay, so you're going to use some kind of coloring thing that will stay there, but then it will go away. Afapish l'achrasman nimchak hasrita. Even after a while, the srita is going to go away. Oh, or im yachul l'sartit b'dio, that you could do it with. You could do it with ink. Obitseva hamiskayim kol yamim shaksav kayim, because or that something that's going to last there as long as the ink is going to last. Bixas nir lashon sirtut goma v'charetz, that the language of sirtut sounds like you're actually getting a charetz. You're actually building a furrow. It's actually something that's going to be physically there. Right, so the Mordechai is actually quoting two questions here. He says, number one, does it have to be something that's permanent, or could it be something that's temporary? And even if you say it's permanent, does it mean that it's something that has to be engraved, or could it be something that has, that's just drawn in lines, that's going to be permanent? Right, so that's the suffix that the Or Zeruah has. And he says maybe it seems from the end where it says Sirtu Guma V'charetz, that's actually dug in, right? That's going to be required. There is an issue that comes up in the lesser mezuzahs, and that is the mezuzahs that are not very well done, and that is that there are some letters that sometimes won't be. I mean, there might be sirtut. If I open up a mezuzah and see there are sirtut there, then first of all, it's puzzle anyways, and you know that it's not a serious thing. But sometimes there are sirtut that are drawn in, but half the letters don't touch the sirtut. Right, so does that make it a puzzle or not? So I remember the Megiah that I sent to. So I remember the first time this came up, he said, like, this letter doesn't touch the line. So I said, well, how many letters are not allowed to touch the line in order for it to be good? So, like, he's right, I don't know, none. I mean, the halacha is that all the letters are supposed to be touching the line. But is that necessarily, it could fall into the suffix and say, well, as long as they're following the line, even if they're not necessarily all touching, maybe that's appropriate. The other tip is that sometimes you could add to a letter. I mean, sometimes if the letter is a millimeter or two below the line, you could just add ink to the top of, depending on what the letter is, you could add ink to the top of the letter and therefore cause it to reach the sirtut, and presumably that would be permissible as a correction to even mezuzahs and tefillin, which have to be in order. Plus the letter is there, you're just extending it a little bit in order to get to the sirtut. Okay, so that is the way that it appears in the Shulchan Aruch. So what do we, in the Beis Yosef. So what does it say in the Shulchan Aruch itself? So if you're on the source sheet, you can turn to page 3.
Sam, do you have the short sheets?
Oh. Looking at the camera, I might not see it. Oh, yeah, well, I'll put it in again. There you go. Okay. So in source number 3, on page number 3, so that's from the Shulchan Aruch itself. So what does it say? A Sefer Torah tzarech sirtut. Simple enough. A Sefer Torah requires sirtut. V'im kasu below sirtut, pasul. There's no sirtut, it's going to be pasul. V'lo yisarte be'oferes v'chiyotzi be'oshetzoveh. And you shouldn't just use a dust or something like that, which causes it to be colored. Meaning it sounds like it should be something that's dug in. Okay, so that then leads to a couple, and there's no line, nothing from the Shachar Taz on this, but there are a couple of things in the Piskei Tshuva. So in the Piskei Tshuva Yud Gimel, so on the bottom of the page, at least the bottom of my page, so I didn't do Yud Gimel, but I didn't look at it before, but we could do it now. Tzarech Sirtut Ayin B'Tshuvas Ribaz HaChadasha Simen Kuf Nun Vav. That there are the sofrim that are noheg to fold the paper upon which a get is written. Since a get is actually specifically written on paper and not on cloth. Part of it is in order to, we're very careful when it comes to gittin to not impose chum. We impose a lot of chumras on gittin, but not to impose chumras that previous generations may not have observed. Because if we say that you're required to do a get in a specific way, so then that perhaps is motzi laz that will say bad things about previous generations that had getin done in other ways. We're makbid to use paper rather than cloth when it comes to a get. So what would the sofrim do? So when it comes to cloth, you can't, folding it over is not going to get you a very good sirtut. But if you just paper, you just fold over, right? And therefore, you're going to get the lines that way. So is that sufficient? So Rabaz apparently said, "Makom sirtut ima nayar kasher sheheya klafim omdim v'nikarim ad sof ksiva seget sagi bahachi." Right? And it will be clear until you finish writing the get. That's enough. The mali sesartit bekana o bechol davar haomed v'nikar da tamu kadesh yeksiva yashra. He says, "Because what's the difference whether you use a reed or something like that, or you just fold it over? As long as it's there till you finish writing, that's fine, because the whole point is for the writing to be straight." Is that true? Right, umash masham, and it sounds like from there also do a din b'sefer Torah mahani v'chay gavda, and it sounds like from the way the Radbaz is talking that that's the whole point. That should work for a sefer Torah as well. That as long as it's as long as you could see it while you're writing it, that should be considered sufficient. We'll see. However, not everybody agrees to that.
Makes it hard to check.
Makes it hard to check. What do you mean?
Years later, you can't tell whether the guy did sefer or not.
Okay. I mean, we also, when it comes to a mezuzah, you can't tell if he wrote backwards or not. I mean, like, right? No, it has to have hashkacha, and you know, we assume that the person wrote it how, you know, well. So, and look, the same thing with these mezuzahs that I got today from Eliezer. So they're machmir. He uses on these the chumras of the Avnei Nezer and the Rashba. Which we'll get it maybe when we learn Hilchas Mezuzah, we'll learn what those are. But there's no way of knowing after you write it. There's no way to tell. Now he does have to. The Rashba has to do. I'm getting bombarded with reminders to take out the garbage tonight. Okay. So, very quickly, what the Rashba is that the Rashba, when there are connections in letters, you can't just erase the connection, you have to add on to the letter. That's the Chumrah of the Rashba. So he has to tell his sofer, he has to tell his checker beforehand that it's a Rashba mezuzah, so that he knows not to erase the connection, or if he erases a connection, that he needs to erase enough so that he can add more ink. Right? That's what he needs to do. So, But other than that, if he wouldn't have told him, there'd be no way of knowing, right? He just wouldn't. Right? It's not a chumrah that you could see. But I sell them as the chumrah of the Rashba, the chumrah of the Avnei Nezer, saying that the sofer told me he did it that way, and he's a Yerushimayim, and we trust him. Okay, so that's Yud Gimel. Yudalit in the Piskei Tshuva. In the Piskei Tshuva, what does he say? He says below Sirtu, it's a kasav b'sefer b'nei Yona. Again, no relation. I still don't know who he is. Interested in finding out. The imkasav eze taos v'garer sham, eze tevos v'nimcha kasirtut v'lo sirtut mechadash. He says that if there was some kind of a mistake. Now, what do you do when there's a mistake in any piece of stam? So you could erase it. Now, how do you erase it? Well, you can start with an eraser. That's actually, they do use erasers for this. You take a razor, hopefully a very fine razor, and you can scrape off the ink, and then you actually use an eraser to sort of even out the ink a little bit. That's the way that it's done. So he says the problem is that when you do that, not only do you erase the letters, but you'll also often erase the sirtut. You'll also often erase the line. So you can have a spot in the line where the sirtut is missing. And then they didn't do it from the beginning. Now you have a sirtut on the rest of the line, but just the letter that you erased is missing it. So is that a problem? That you could say those are kosher. Because you can write in the place that it was erased. You can figure out how to write straight, right? Just because there's a small part of it that's missing the sirtut, you'll still be able to continue to write straight. So on this,
the line is etched, right?
Yes.
So how can you scrape it away or etch it away?
Because in the process of erasing, of etching, of scraping away the ink, you could also scrape away the line.
So you scrape deep enough so that there's no line anymore.
Right, and you rub it out, so you're gonna lose that line. So if you take a look at Rabbi Akiva Eger, so the Rabbi Akiva Eger on Sif Hei, where he says here, Sefer Torah Tzarech Sirtut. So he says, Beves Yosef Hevi Divrei HaMordechai, right, Behilchos Kitanos, took me a minute to figure out what that was, right, Shekasa B'Shem Or Zarua, this is a quote in the Beves Yosef, the Besirtut Atz Masupet, that Or Zarua wasn't sure, right, Beinu Simcha Im Sar Shia Nikar V'Kayim Li Olam, if it needs to be there forever, like Barzel, Or it's enough kadeshi yehei nira lahasofer, that it should appear to the sofer sheyichtov b'shav that he writes straight kamo b'bedil afal pish achras nimcha kesirtut, even though it's going to be even though later it's going to erase v'ksas nira lashon sirtut gumu v'charetz ad kan lashono. So and it's now the orazer, now he's only quoting the orazerua, this Rabbi Akiva Eiger, right? He says quotes the orazerua and says, oh, it seems right, but when he's quoting it that way, he seems like he's being machmir for that. And the Rabbi Akiva Eiger is quoted as being machmir for this, saying that if you're going to erase a letter and thereby cause the sirta to be erased, you actually have to go ahead and rescore the line. You have to redo it in order so that the sirta will be there forever. I mean, just sort of scraping in a little bit will cause it to erase. You have to actually get pretty deep in there. Now, that is some, so when we talk about the, and everybody, by the way, has mistakes. When you talk to Sofrim, right, that's the first thing you learn. I took about one or two classes out of a bunch of, I never finished them in terms of Sofrim, but the first thing you learn is how to erase. That's the first thing you learn how to do. Actually, the first thing you learn how to do is how to make a quill. How to cut a quill. Then the next thing you learn is how to erase. So you're always erasing. Sofrim are always erasing because the ink is always going to bleed a little bit. So you have to make sure that it's not that's perfectly formed. So this is a common thing. So does that then passel the Sefer Torah? So there are those. So when you talk about chumras of a Sefer Torah, so one of them is the chumra of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that the sirtut are all there permanently. Is that absolutely required? So Mendelwitz in the book Inside Stam points out that being machmir for this Rabbi Akiva Eiger could sometimes be a chumra da asili de kula. It could be a chumra that leads to a leniency. Why? Because if you keep scoring the parchment, eventually you will get through the parchment. Right? There's a limit to how thick the parchment is. So if you get through the parchment, so then that's a psul. And sometimes it could be a psul that's very hard to see. Right, because it's one thing if there's a hole in the parchment, in which case you can see that there's a hole. But if there is a slit in the parchment, so you often are not going to be able to see a slit, even if you hold it up to a light. So part of what when I check mezuzah, so I'll send it away, and I'll also look at each mezuzah. I'll hold it up to the light just to see if there's any holes. But if there's a slit, it's possible that you're not going to see a hole. So right, correct. The only time that it's a hole is a problem is if it interferes with the letter, and specifically it's at, even if it's in the middle of the error, it might be okay, but if it's at the edge of a letter, such that, because the halacha is that every letter needs to be completely surrounded by parchment. So if you have a hole there, so you're losing that, and therefore it would passel the entire mezuzah, tefillin, and sefer Torah if there is a small if there is a line there. Correct. So anyway, so this Rabbi Akiva Eiger is one of those chumras that are out there. I'm not sure what the practice is in general. I mean, So
the chumra here is that if you erase the letter,
thereby causing that section, that small part of the section of the sirtut to be erased, you would have to rescore the line. I would add also, right, that just keep in mind that. Now, the truth is, he's not in Shulchan Aruch, so it's unclear how far to go with this. But Rabbeinu Tam held that you don't need Sirtut in the Sefer Torah, right? So that's an important Shitas Rishonim to keep in mind. One further thing, and we'll get into this probably later on in Hilchos Sefer Torah, is that what exactly do you need a Sefer Torah for? So we grew up saying, well, what do you mean? You need a kosher Sefer Torah in order to lean from, right? How could you lean from a Pasul Sefer Torah? So it's not totally true. We'll see the Rambam is a little vague on that. It could be that the Rambam holds that you require a Sefer Torah in order to be Yotze the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. That's what you need a kosher Sefer Torah for. But once it's written already, so then even if it's possible, it could be that you're Yotze laning from a Sefer Torah that's not kosher. It's a ambiguity within the Rambam that maybe we will get to later on, because there is a whole section about in Hilchos Sefer Torah about what happens if you're laning and you find a psul in the Sefer Torah. What do you do? So we'll get to that when we get up there. But just the clear proof for that we somewhat rely on that Shitas HaRambam is that when you find a mistake in the Sefer Torah in the middle of laning, we don't go back to the beginning of the Parsha. Or we don't go back and ask Sheldon, by the way, which partios this year did you use that Sefer Torah for, and go back and lean all those partios either, right? We don't do any of that, right? We just continue on from where we left off. How could that be if we were just leaning from a puzzle Sefer Torah? So somewhat of that is based on that Rambam that might not be required to have a kosher Sefer Torah in order to be yotzei the mitzvah of leaning from a Sefer Torah. Okay. So that is all Sefei, at least the sugi of Sirtut for now, as he pointed out when we get to the very end of Hilchos Sefer Torah, Habalei Nilatova Simen Reish Pei Dalad. So there, that halacha is Shlo Lichtov below Sirtut at all. We'll have to see a comparison as to when it's needed and when it's not. But the truth is, you know, maybe we'll take a glance at that now, because I'm not sure we have enough time to get into the next sugya. Anyways, so actually take a look at the Pisrei Tshuva and Tesvav. In Tesvav it says Shetzoveya. So once again, I in Besefer Bnei Yonah, Hevi B'Shem Ma'adana Yamtov, the B'dieved im Sirtut B'davar Hatzoveya Eino Poselas. That he adds in also that if B'dieved you put in Sirtut with something that colors, b'di'eved, it's not going to be puzzle. Achein b'tshuas Rabbi Kiva Eger, simen nun, aviyu l'kamen simen reish pedal tzif gimel, lo mashmakein, doesn't sound like that, ayin sham heitiv, uv emes divri abiyin anyatav sham tzarachiyin, right? This ma'adan anyatav is tzarachiyin anyways. So with that, let's take a look at that. Oh, I didn't put in the source sheet. Sorry. I'll just quote it to you then. That what's going on over there, so the halacha, if you have your own Shulchan Aruch, you could take a look at Reish Pei Dalad Sif Beis, where it says, where it quotes the halacha that Aser Lichtov Gimel Tevos Mi Pasuk Below Sirtut. You're not allowed to write three words from a Pasuk without Sirtut. Imu Ksav Ashuris, if it's Ksav Ashuris. Ksav Ashuris is the types of writings that we use for a Sefer Torah. That's what Ksav Ashuris is. So the Pisrei Tshuva there says, right, I am B'Shas Tshuva, no, Sirtut, I am a chooser of Kiva Eger, Shekasav Dilazem Mahani Sirtut Be'oferes, that for this, Sirtut Be'oferes is okay. What is Sirtut Be'oferes? That's the Sirtut with dust, right? V'chadoma Av She'enu Miskayim, even though it's not going to last, V'yishu B'zeh Kushas Tosos V'rash, and that answers up all the questions where it says that we don't have to write, that we can't write without Sirtut, but on the other hand, saying that by a mezuzah it's absolutely required and not by tefillin. So how does that work? On the one hand, you say that it's absolutely required. On the other hand, we say you need by mezuzah and you don't need by tefillin. So Rabbi Akiva Eger explains, Bob, put him down, Joel, shut him off. So the Pisrei Tshuva here in Gimel, if you see it there, points out to this Rabbi Akiva Eger. So I think it might need to be recharged. Okay, are we on now?
What I miss?
So.
Sorry about that. I got a phone call from I won't tell you who.
So Rabbi Akiva Eger explains that the difference is that when it comes to when is it absolutely required to have the sirtut with the line in it and that might be permanent, that would be by the mezuzah and by the Sefer Torah as well. But when the Gemara says that all Kisvei Kodesh require Sirtut, what is that referring to? That's referring to lines on the paper. So what are those lines on the paper? So it means that, I don't know, if you take out you shouldn't write on a blank white piece of paper, rather you should write on a lined piece of paper or something. But what specifically is that halacha, what Kisvei Kodesh requires lines and not? So that we'll have to save until we get to Simon Reish Pei Dalad. But here you clearly see, but here it makes sense again, why the Rabbi Akiva Eger would say that you should be machmir on it, but he holds that there's actually a different halacha of the sirtut on a mezuzah / a Sefer Torah than there would be on the on a Kisvei Kodesh, as well as Rabbi Akiva Eger would say that by one, it's halacha Moshe Misinai, by a mezuzah, that it's absolutely required because of halacha Moshe Misinai, as opposed to by other things where perhaps the practice is only there in order to make the letters look nice and look straight, but might not be, but beyond that doesn't have any other halachas. All right, so The next halacha actually is the halachas of ink and then the halachas of a quill, but I guess we'll get into that, Emir Seshem, next week.
So the lines are only required for
mezuzah? Mezuzah, it's for sure required. A Sefer Torah, it's probably required. That's a machluk. The Rabbeinu Tam holds not, but everybody else holds it, yes. And Tefillin, Rabbeinu Tam holds it's not. And I think we actually do paskin that way, that it's not required. However, there are some sirtut that are required by Tefillin. I mean, the top line and the side lines, those are required. If you look at the mezuzah here, right, the sides there. I have the ink here, but we're not up to the ink. We'll save the ink for next week. Right, but back to our sirtut here. Besides the you can see it there, sort of at the corner, right? You see there is also a side line, and on the other side also. What?
When you hold it up, we can't hear you, but I can see.
Oh, okay. Right, so there you see the side line on one side and the side line on the other side. There's also a lacha by mezuzah. Maybe you require a large section there. Also a chumrah that maybe we'll speak about at one point. So anyways,
is plastic a chumrah?
The plastic is, you should, the way my nephew sent it to me, it was chumrah al gabi chumrah al gabi chumrah al gabi chumrah. Here is all his packing material. I like covered in his stuff here. But yes, he was very machmir in the way he packed it. And there was bubble wrap involved as well, but I think my kids already got to that. All right, have a good...
I think the standard meaning of Ocheres is lead, as in Sonoluko Ocheres, my lady rim, we say every morning.
Ah, yes, you're probably right, but I think I might have looked it up in the dictionary and saw it as Ocheres as dust, but...
Lead makes a mark.
Right. No, that makes sense.
That's why they call the pencil lead.
An iparon, that's why they call it.
And why is mezuzah different, less, more strict than the Torah? I mean, the mezuzah has part of the Torah in it.
Because the Gemara just said, first of all, there are chumras in mezuzah. Sefer Torah is considered more kadosh, as we learned about with the Tanayim, that was a couple weeks ago. However, a mezuzah is perhaps more, the Gemara said, a Megillah needs sirta just like the Iker Shel Torah, or what, I forgot exactly what the language was. The line was Kamisa Shel Torah, like the truth of Torah. So what exactly is that? So Rabbi Natam suggests that's not you could just say a Sefer Torah. Why does it say Amita Shel Torah? So he says that's referring to a mezuzah, which has specifically the Shema, which is like the MS of the Torah. And not like a mezuzah is more machmer than a Sefer Torah, and that a mezuzah has to be written in order, while a Sefer Torah can be written out of order. Right? So there are chumras that go in each direction.
The word MS is making the connection there. Yivrei Shalom VeMS.
Ah.
Without the word MS.
Ah, okay. Yivrei Shalom VeMS. Maybe that's what the connection is. Okay, could be. Could be, yeah. Okay, good night, everybody. Yeah, thank you. I'll get the snoozes that I press are going to start buzzing me and